Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I want to wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all. So why don't you smile?
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
The next section is 40401, subsection I3, stormwater treatment pond design requirements. This is specifically to remove the requirement for a chain link fence around a retention pond under certain circumstances, specifically regarding the slope of the pond.
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! I feel like the Kool-Aid man! I feel like I'm busting through the chain link fence wall, bringing you your Kool-Aid. Now, okay. Disclaimer. Normally, that particular stager is when we have drama at the county commission in Santa Rosa County. We did not. Well, there was a little moment. I'm probably not even going to bother airing it. It was so off the topic. Anyway, but this was actually not at the morning meeting. This was at the LDC, the Land Development Code meeting, where they're going through and actually ratifying all the, like, the final version of all the LDC recommendations. And we're going to talk with Jared Lowe, the Assistant City County Administrator, about this coming up in about 20 minutes. But I want to take a victory lap right now. I mean, this is, what did they say, John? This,
wow.
Santa Rosa County was voting on getting rid of the requirement that all retention ponds have chain link fences around them. How many times have you heard me, well, there's a word that starts with B and rhymes with which.
I.
About this topic. How many times have you heard me?
A lot.
A lot. Because they're ugly and horrid, and they don't maintain, and they always bring down the neighborhood appeal, the aesthetic. They're not necessary. And if you do just across to the west, you see Baldwin County, you see Mobile. Like, Alabama gets this. Other places in Florida get this. They make their retention ponds amenities. They look nice. They're just better. They don't slope them so deep that they have to put fences around them. They slope them gradually, and some are dry and some are wet. And the point is, it's they make neighborhoods look better because, oh, look, it's a lake, as opposed to making them look like stuff. Because, oh, look, there's a chain link fence. It's poorly maintained. That always looks nasty after a while. So, yeah, Santa Rosa County was voting on amending the Land Development Code to eliminate the requirement for chain link fences under two circumstances. If there is a 2 foot or less of water, because nobody's drowning in 2 feet of water, part one. Part two is if there is more than 2 feet of water capable of being in the pond, if the slope is less than 4 to 1. So 3 to 1, I think, is the steeper slope. 4 to 1 is the lesser slope anyway. So this is just like, it just made me so happy. Santa Rosa County is starting to get a little bit more pretty. Kerry Smith.
I think this is a good one because there's nothing worse than seeing big industrial holding ponds all over the place, especially when I see the one on Highway 90 in my district right there in front of the neighborhood. It's just so lovely.
Yeah, they're awful. Everybody knows it. Do something.
And I won't ask it to be a requirement, but I would encourage any builder developer, if they want to turn those retention ponds into a water feature.
Yeah, I know.
I think that'd be a fantastic
amenity. Yes.
I was fixing to add that in, if you don't mind me jumping in on that. Come back from Orlando, and they had holding ponds out there. They had nice, beautiful water fountains in there. I mean, it was very aesthetic. So, like I said, I encourage the builders to let's think outside the box and make something beautiful for there, other than just having a holding pond stuck there. I'm sure you could probably do that cheaper than you put six foot, 8 foot fence around it.
Yes. Like, I feel so seen. I don't know. It's so satisfying. Oh, man. Bobby Burkett's in. Colton Wright's in. Kerry Smith is in. Everybody's on board with this.
Well, here's a good example of it. Up over in my district, it's a little neighborhood called, well, I think it's in your district. It's on your side of that. It's on your side of Trout Bayou. It's called Eventide Estates. And in Eventide Estates, what the developer did is he made like little swamps with cypress trees. You got cypress knots all in it. You got it's a beautiful little amenity to the community, but it's their holding pond. And it's I thought it was one of the most beautiful ideas from that developer.
Yeah, because trees help also. They absorb water. They look pretty. I love that idea of a sort of a pond or a pool, or the pond would be good for you. Sorry, Caddyshack. Or cypress trees or whatever. Just make it interesting. Do something different.
All right, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept it as stated without objection.
All right. Seeing no objections, that passes.
Yes. Yes. I know it's not the most important thing in the whole wide world, but it's a lot of little things that make neighborhoods or communities or counties pretty and cool or ugly and uncool. And this is a step in the pretty and cool direction. So good job, Santa Rosa County. Now, as far as Escambia County goes, hey, girl, you listening?
Oh, goodness.
got this other county next door. They're doing a nice thing. Maybe y'all could think about it.
I'm like, goodness gracious.
Listen, I would love to take the victory lap on this as being responsible, but I do not think I am. I know I've talked about this a bunch, but I know the county commissioners had also been intending this on their own, and I talked to Brad Baker, and they'd been working on this behind the scenes. So I'm sure me talking about it a lot didn't hurt, but I don't want to take the credit for it either. Now, if Escambia County changes, I will take that credit, because after all these years of whinging about it and talking about how much better, and well, what about the liability? That's why they have the slope limits in there. I mean, just stop. Stop. We have all this waterfront in the entire county, and we don't put fences around the water. Guess what? It's okay. It'll be okay. All these other areas managed to do it safely. We can do safe and pretty, and we can do better. Girl, come on. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. At least I'll be able to hit my golf balls now and not try to aim over the fence.
There you go.
Good news on that. All right. And some other good news is we have no accidents or delays to let you know about. Everything is flowing smoothly this morning. I-10, I-110, 90-98, all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. The History of the Blues is presented by Lambert's Transfer and Storage.
In October of 1985, the Blue Angels would welcome their first black pilot in the 40-year history of the Precision Flying Squadron. A native of Pelham, Georgia, and one of 12 children, Lieutenant Commander Donnie Cochran would fly left wing in the No. 3 jet. He flew with the Blue Angels for 3 years, rotated out and into other duties, and then returned to the Blue Angels for the 1995 season, this time as commanding officer and flight leader. In 1986, the Blue Angels celebrated their 40th anniversary, flying 65 shows in 36 cities. The biggest crowd by far was at the New York City demonstration flown at the 100th birthday of the Statue of Liberty. This July 4th performance drew a crowd of more than 8 million people, shattering the record of 1.5 million set in 1964 at Mexico City. This record still stands today and is unlikely to be broken anytime soon. By year's end, more than 200 million spectators had seen the Blue Angels in their 40 years of breathtaking aerobatics. The final show of the 86 season took place at NAS New Orleans on November 2nd. It was also the last show in the A4 Skyhawks, which had served the squadron so well since 1974. The Blue Angels would transition into the sleek, state-of-the-art FA-18 Hornet during winter training preceding the 1987 season. The twin-engine McDonnell Douglas Hornet was designed as the Navy's first dual-role air-to-air fighter and air-to-ground attack aircraft. It is a high-performance tactical jet which can perform fighter, strike, or intercept missions from carriers or land-based airstrips. Its combination of high power and light weight give this sophisticated jet impressive maneuverability, rate of climb, and acceleration. All great features for a demonstration aircraft. The ones flown by the Blue Angels are just like the ones flown in the regular fleet squadrons, except for a few minor modifications. Weapons have been removed, and smoke tanks have been installed for use during air shows. But if necessary, they can be converted back to combat-ready status in just 48 hours. I'll be back with more after this.
Need to move across town, across country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBB accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Go LambertTeam.com.
The Blue Angels enter Russian airspace and are met by MiG fighter jets in the next chapter of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Anderson Subaru has some outstanding fall offers on select 2025 Subarus. Choose 1.9 for 48 or 2.9 for 72 on Foresters. Get 1.9 for 63 on Crosstrek. Or choose 0% for 36 or 0.9 for 72 on Outbacks. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
It's open enrollment time for health insurance. Have you signed up? Do you know where? Whether you currently have coverage or not, there are some important things you need to know. Get your questions answered. Tune in today at 10 as Chad PQ from Affiliated Insurance joins the Pensacola Expert Panel. Get the facts and the latest information on healthcare today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Severe from Vicks.
Sinex Severe nasal spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Severe instantly relieves nasal congestion and works 6 times faster than nasal decongestant tablets. The 12 hours of relief allow you to get back to the moments that matter without congestion.
Daddy, we need more balloons.
On it.
Try Sinex Severe from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Miren el tomate.
Look at the tomato.
No es triste.
Isn't it sad?
Él no puede bailar.
He can't dance.
Pobre tomate.
Poor tomato.
Good morning, 622, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Oh, did you see P&J had a good story about the new project that's going in at the mall at that used to be the Dirt Cheap location. We told you that there's the food trucks. That was also from P&J, Brittany Masenchik, writing a good article about that, that the food truck court's going to go in to the east of that off of Olive. But right in the old Dirt Cheap building, they're doing this giant family indoor entertainment park.
They are?
Yeah, and basically, I looked up some of the pictures online. Best as I can tell, it's essentially going to be Sky Zone plus a bowling alley.
Nice.
And, like, a rock climbing wall. So it's like Sky Zone plus at the north end of Davis instead of Sky Zone at the, not southern end of Davis, but, you know, middle portion of Davis. So I would not have personally thought there was enough business in our market to really employ both fully. Because when I've been to Sky Zone, and we go to Sky Zone routinely, it's a lot of fun. It's just not packed.
Every time I've went, it's been packed.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, they're the ones investing their money in a second. Like, it's not the same. It's a little bit different.
I welcome the second location.
But yeah, and also it'll appeal to you know, a different slice of the geography, obviously, and where it's at. So interesting.
And if I could go bowling while the kids are doing something else,
I think the bowling, it looks like kind of a neon bowling, but that may be different or not. But anyway,
it's
kind of a different color scheme. So if you're used to the orange, like at Sky Zone, this is more like the lime green of Gravedigger. The only color I can think of that's exactly
that's
that color.
The only color.
It's the neon lime green of the Gravedigger undercarriage. Why that's what I know, it's don't ask. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the Senate taking a
taking a step to end the government shutdown. The chamber voting Monday night to pass the funding bill. Now it heads to the House. The measure would fund the government through January. That passed on a 60-40 vote. The House is not expected to take that up until Wednesday.
You know what I think was amazing about this in the end? Really, this completely caught me by surprise. The number, the senators who switched, the Democrats or independents, Gene Shaheen of New Hampshire, Tim Kaine of Virginia, Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire, Angus King of Maine, Jackie Rose of Nevada, Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada, and John Fetterman of Pennsylvania. Other than Tim Kaine, not a surprise. The one that floored me, Dick Durbin. Dick Durbin, and listen, Dick Durbin has been in the Senate for 173 years, and like he was my senator when I lived in Illinois, you know, like 30 years ago, okay? So, you know, Dick Durbin has been in the Senate a long time, and I don't think I have ever heard Dick Durbin say a single word on anything controversial that I thought was correct. In fact, literally, if Dick Durbin went on TV and said, "The sky is blue," I'd be like, "Oh, crap, what happened to the sky now?" You know, like, I would assume it's wrong. I would assume it's wrong. And there he is, voting to end the shutdown.
Wow.
In his twilight years after 173 years in the Senate. Okay, so, I mean, just weird times. Anyway, go ahead, David. Sorry, I interrupted you with my soliloquy.
No, that is all right. The new U.S. ambassador to India is now on the job. President Trump took part in the swearing-in ceremony of Sergio Gore on Monday at the White House, calling him vital to continuing the strong relationship the U.S. has with India. And Wikipedia wants AI companies to utilize their paid service. The nonprofit's parent company, Wikimedia Foundation, says that AI companies have been scraping their web pages, and it says those companies need to pay Wikimedia Enterprise to ensure that their resources at Wikipedia are not being strained.
First of all, I didn't even know there was a paid version of Wikipedia.
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh.
Second, if AI destroys free information on the internet, that will be just one more reason to hate Skynet. Because, yeah, I mean, they take it all and they don't pay. It's also what I do.
Well,
but I'm a human.
We know that.
And then they can advertise to me and they can make their money up in other ways. They can advertise to the AI because the AI isn't buying products or services.
Yet.
Well, not fair. You know, give them a body. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, somebody asked me earlier, Andrew, why don't you use AI to see what's in these council meetings and save time? Bro, my job is literally to pay better attention than the machines. My job is to pay, frankly, you know, my job is to pay at least as good of attention as the TV and the newspaper. That's my job. So I watch the meetings. So you know I've watched the meetings. So when I'm talking to you about these things, I didn't just read some summary report that, no offense, you know, Jim Little's a good reporter, but I don't just read what Jim writes. I watch the meeting. So you know from me, you're getting what actually happened. That's why I play the clips, because it's like, this is what actually happened. Anyway, so no thank you, AI. No thank you. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you or any delays. I'm not seeing anything that's going to slow you down this morning. I-10, I-110, all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Plus, AI is wrong a lot.
And
you do not get the flavor. You don't.
Flavor.
When I watch the meeting, I know what happened. I know the people.
Well, you can hear the
tone
of their voice. Yeah.
All of it. Right. Now, I will say, I have started listening to it on accelerated speed.
Why?
Because people talk slow?
Well.
I had somebody say, well, Andrew, you know, you think pretty fast. Why don't you listen to these meetings on double speed or something? And I'm like, it just seems, I don't know if I'll catch all the nuance and get the drama of it quite the same way. And so I started at 1.3, and I'm now up to 1. I go 1.4. 1.4 acceleration.
And they don't sound like chipmunks?
No, it's a good system.
Okay.
But what is funny is every once in a while on my, I use my old phone, my previous phone, as an iPod or MP3 player, whatever you want to call it. And I sometimes, if I've listened to all the meetings and I'm also listening to albums, because I love listening to albums, especially of albums that I didn't have until recently, I'll just go back and grab them. Anyway, but I will sometimes have listened to the meeting at 1.4 and then I play an album. And it doesn't sound real good because it's still on 1.4.
La, 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 la.
Which is, you know, and all of a sudden I'm like, it'd oh, back up, slow down. All right, 437-1620, that is my phone number if you want to text me about anything. Happy Veterans Day. Thank you to all who served. You know, this is the day when we remember. It was all, started with Armistice Day, right? The 11th hour, the 11th day of the 11th month during the ending of World War One. It eventually morphed over time from being only Armistice Day and the remembrance of the ending of World War One, or, I don't know, VG Day, Victory Over Germany. I don't know what you want to call it. It's because, you know, VE and VJ later on.
Acronyms really work right now.
Maybe not. Okay. Let's just say it's Veterans Day. Anyway,
okay, yes.
Armistice originally converted over to veterans. And the one key thing, of course, is that it's all veterans, current, past, also deceased. I mean, anybody who's a veteran, this is where we honor the service of everybody, not just Memorial Day, where it is the people who have died in the service of the country. Hey, if you need a new roof, or if you're not sure if you do, and that's where a lot of people start. You're not sure if you need a new roof. You know you need a repair, or you think you do. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. They're a 4.9 on Google. I mean, 10,000 roofs since 2006, 19 years in. Brian Ward started this company just to do right by people, to take care of them, to do good quality work, to do good customer service, to provide you a, you know, documentary record before, during, and after that's available online. Lots of photos, you know, this is the board replaced here. This is the problem that you had there. And if you don't know whether it's a repair or replace, ask them. They do about 90% is replacements, you know, full brand new roofs, okay, about 10,000, and about 10% they do repair because it just depends on the situation. Probably save you money on your insurance, give you good guidance about what to do in the situation, and make good choices. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. The Senate voting to end America's longest government shutdown after 8 Democrats. Caucus members break rank.
The Senate voted 60-40 to pass a bill that will fund the government through January 30th. It also includes year-long funding bills for Congress, the Agriculture Department, and the military. But it does not include a deal on Obamacare subsidies, which is what Dems have been fighting for all along. Senate Republicans promised in a side deal a separate vote in December.
That is Fox's Madeline Rivera. Now, until the House votes on the measure, the FAA dropping 6% of flights today, up from the 4% target last week.
Shutdown aside, the FAA is already short 3,500 controllers. And we learned from the agency yesterday that anywhere between 20 to 40% of controllers have not shown up for work on any given day during the shutdown.
That's Fox's Kelly Saberi at Chicago's O'Hare Airport. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Little bit of a chilly morning. We've got 33 degrees with clear skies right now in Pensacola. Of course, it is expected to remain cold here through the day, or at least low 50s through the day, and then possibly another cold night overnight tonight. Cold weather shelters are open across northwest Florida as cold weather advisories remain in effect through Tuesday morning. In Escambia County, the waterfront rescue mission on Herman Street will be open 24 hours for men and women without children. Santa Rosa County shelter at Ferris Hill Baptist Church in Milton opens from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. That'll be open again Monday and Tuesday nights. The National Weather Service had cold weather advisories, freeze watches, freeze warnings, and across effect most of the state through tomorrow morning. 70-year-old Pensacola woman died in a head-on crash on Highway 97 in Escambia County on Thursday. The Florida Highway Patrol says her vehicle collided with another car driven by an Atmore woman. The Atmore driver suffered minor injuries. Troopers are still investigating what caused that accident. Residents of an Escambia County trailer park are still struggling to comprehend how a neighbor they all trusted could commit a horrific crime.
All the kids go over and hang out with him. It's cool uncle. Any idea? He made friends with all the kids.
Neighbors talked with Channel 3 at the Grand Oaks Mobile Home Park on Flaxman. They say 27-year-old John Henry Walston frequently had kids over to play video games and hang out, but last Friday night, he allegedly murdered two kids at his home, 9-year-old Vaden Oram and 7-year-old Raiden Smith, then set his mobile home on fire. Walston also faces a sexual assault charge. The children's mother was injured trying to save them from the trailer. He's being held without bond. An investigation continuing today after a man was found with multiple stab wounds dead in a Pensacola office building. Officers were called to the AA Top Shop on Davis Highway. An employee reporting to work had found the man deceased in an office inside that building. Police say the man had multiple stab wounds. His identity is expected to be released later today. Well, it is Veterans Day, and the Northwest Florida communities will be honoring veterans with parades and other ceremonies across the region. In Pensacola, there's a parade that starts at 9 a.m. at Spring in Maine. It'll actually be followed by a military helicopter landing at Veterans Memorial Park. Milton's parade starts 9:30. Santa Rosa County holding ceremonies in Gulf Breeze and Navarre at 11. And in Okaloosa County, Crestview's parade begins at 9. Destin has a couple of new statues they're unveiling to honor female veterans, and that's going to happen this afternoon at 1 p.m. It's a day to remember and thank those who have served. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Cold and sunny skies for your Veterans Day, starting with the 30s. Highs this afternoon near 55 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 43. Much warmer going into your Wednesday afternoon. Sunny skies, high near 71. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 54. Keeping a warmer trend through the rest of the week by Thursday. Sunny skies, high near 74. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It's a chilly morning. We've got 34 degrees right now with sunshine. Our next news at 7, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Congress is moving closer to ending the shutdown, but havoc at airports is escalating. Tighter FAA restrictions take effect today, forcing airlines to reduce capacity by 6% now. Already close to 1,200 flights are canceled. The pilots' union says airlines are enlisting their reserve pilots because cancellations have kept some full-time crews from getting where they were supposed to be for work. China plans to ease the flow of rare earths and other restricted materials to the U.S., but there's a catch. The system will exclude companies with ties to the U.S. military while fast-tracking approval for other firms. The Wall Street Journal reports that could be a challenge for car and aerospace companies that have both civilian and defense clients. On Wall Street, futures are mixed as trading in AI stocks roared back to life yesterday. The Nasdaq had its best day since May, gaining more than 2%. That's Your Money Now.
Workdays can be unpredictable, but your workwear shouldn't be. With a Cintas Apparel Plus program, you'll have freshly laundered garments for everyone on your team delivered every week. Cintas has workwear for just about any job imaginable, with high-performance fabrics and an uncompromising fit that stretches and moves with you. Don't leave looking and feeling good to chance. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
You take care of your car, right? So why not give your auto loan some TLC? Refinance an existing loan from another institution with Pinair Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. In addition to a better rate, you'll enjoy convenient banking and a friendly local team always ready to help. Learn more at pinair.org/auto-refi. That's pinair.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan applications submitted between October 1st and December 31st, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PINAIR for complete details.
At Bank of America, we're proud that more than 20,000 veterans and people with military backgrounds have joined our ranks since 2015. Now we're committed to adding 10,000 more over the next 5 years. By helping veterans achieve their career goals, we're moving from appreciation to action. And together, helping expand economic opportunity across America. Visit bankofamerica.com/great-place-to-work. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7, wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed, then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpia Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 6:39 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Got a surprise for you today. Normally, we would be talking to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator Brad Baker, but he is out for the day. And yesterday, actually, the agenda in the regular meeting was relatively light, but there was an extra meeting yesterday, the Land Development Code meeting, the LDC. And I told you already that Santa Rosa County has approved the non-necessity of having chain link fences on the retention ponds if they are of a certain depth or of a certain slope. And this is a hallelujah moment for me. Thank God. Now, Escambia, come on. Come on. Let's get on board. Anyway, but Jared Lowe, who is the assistant county administrator, is joining us now. Jared, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, Andrew, good morning. How are you?
I'm so excited about the chain link fence thing. I really am. I'm so excited about this. Like years of complaining and finally, and I know I was not the only one. There's a lot of people. It's a good decision. Anyway.
You are not alone.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But you guys did a lot of stuff in this meeting last night that is important to a lot of people. And I wanted to have you on to kind of summarize it. So let's get into some of these issues. Clear cutting, land clearing, tree cutting, all of that stuff, that has been changed. So you tell me what was the old and what is the new? What changed as far as clearing land?
Yeah, so in the code that was being amended last night, there had been some vague language about the clearing of subdivisions. The intent in some previous changes was tried to reduce the amount of total clearing of a site prior to structures being built. But what was amended, what's been added, and this is all a part of that Land Development Code task force that took place earlier in the year, was to provide for a specific phasing approach for the clearing of residential lots. So rather, and this applies to most circumstances, there's some really limited circumstances where if it's going to negatively impact your drainage infrastructure. But in most circumstances, you have to have a phased approach to clearing a subdivision. So you clear out an area for the utilities, you clear an area for the holding ponds, you have a stockpile area for the fill that you're bringing out of the pond that you're digging. But you have to do a phased approach, and you have to provide that plan to the county. It has to be engineered. And it's just a way to make sure that we're limiting the areas where an entire subdivision is wiped clear prior to the development. And you know, a lot of people refer to that as clear cutting. So we've done a lot to try to shore that up. And in some of those same sections of the code, we've adopted some parameters from DEP related to erosion control and sediment, which is a different topic altogether. But we've kind of lumped all that in to try to have a more thoughtful clearing for development.
Great. So part of this would be the aesthetic value, but I know that's not the primary thing. It seems to me the primary thing is where people would go in and clear, and then you're waiting 4 years before any construction actually happens. Is that kind of the general intent?
That's exactly it, Andrew. You know, there's a subdivision that's kind of famous for this, Lakes of Woodbine, over off of Woodbine and Pace, where it was cleared, and then there was financing issues for the project, and it just sat vacant for a very long time. So this is trying to eliminate that sort of thing. So if there is an issue with the project progressing, you don't have a bunch of raw land and raw sediment just sitting out there until the project commences back.
Did anything happen that changes the end result of how much of the tree presence gets cleared, or did that all get left the same? Because I know if we slow it, phase it, I mean, that's better, of course. But if the end result is, you know, as the developers claim, you have to really cut so much because if you raise the land by – there's all kinds of issues. Did we really change any of the end result deforestation, or did that all kind of stay the same?
A lot of that stayed the same, but there's been some fruitful conversations in some of the meetings leading up to this one about being able to use our tree mitigation fund to try to make sure we have More canopy trees on site, especially on public properties, you know, if it's a common area. So there's still some conversations to be had relative to that. But last night was specifically about the clearing leading up to development.
Great. That's great news. And I know people will care a lot about that. That's why I wanted to talk about it today. We're talking to Jared Lowe, Santa Rosa County Assistant Administrator at the LDC meeting last night. And these, by the way, these are final decisions. This is not going to come back to this.
That's correct.
This is done. Like, this is in law now.
Correct. That was a public hearing, so it'll get the ordinance relative to it will get signed by the chairman, the clerk of court, goes to the secretary of state, and then it's codified in law.
Perfect. Sediment control and runoff was also, you talked about a moment ago, what was changed here? Because that's obviously with Mulat Bayou in general, all the waterways, we care deeply about those, and some people do great and some people don't do great, but what changed?
So there was a lot of housekeeping we had to do to allow us to better enforce some codes about sedimentation.
Okay.
You know, there's a couple of other regulatory agencies that we had tended to lean on in the past, one being water management, and they have what they call ERP, Environmental Resource Permitting Process. And we had some references to that program, but they were very, very specific. And then water management would change that specific reference. And so we'd try to enforce it. We'd go to court and they'd say, well, that reference isn't even the thing that you're looking at right now. So we made that a little more generic. And then we incorporated, DEP has a manual. It's a 202-page manual that tells you exactly how to do erosion control. So we say, you know, let's just adopt to that. That's what the state's using as their gold standard. And that gives us something to better enforce issues related to erosion control and sedimentation. So that made a pretty big, I think that's another tool in the tool belt for code enforcement to be able to better regulate that sort of thing.
Okay.
And a lot of that, of course, stems from Avalon Beach area, some of the issues we had about this time last year. And then, you know, one of the interesting things that we changed, so...
And by the way, just on the sediment stuff, that just means that the regulations or guidance or restrictions, however you want to characterize it, is tighter and more in line with state guidelines. But also,
absolutely,
you've empowered enforcement on the back end by making the statute more amenable to enforcement. So it's both on both sides of this. That's great news. Jared, hang on for just a real quick second. Let me get traffic on the files of John Pickens. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110, 90, 98, Highway 29. Everything is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Jared Lowe, Santa Rosa County Assistant Administrator. Last night, the LDC meeting where the County Commission actually ratified some of the recommendations from the Land Development Code Revision Commission. I kind of interrupted you. You were about to add something. I think it was maybe on more sediment stuff, but maybe it's something else. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the issues we had in Avalon Beach and, you know, other areas like Florida Town, where it's a 100-year-old platted subdivision, it exists on paper, but many of the roads that are on the plat aren't actually built out. So we put some parameters in place where somebody wishing to develop property, we can't keep you from getting to your property. You have property rights and a right to it. But you can't go in and wipe out an entire platted right-of-way, tear through wetlands, remove any existing infrastructure if there is any. So we put some controls related to that to try to minimize some of the issues we had in Avalon Beach last year. We think that's going to be fruitful going forward as well.
Good. Okay. Also, I thought I read a part where there was a durational limit on plats or plans of some kind, that if something doesn't get built in a certain amount of time, that basically the plan reverts away. Did I read that right?
So that was specific to commercial site plans.
Okay.
The way the code previously read was that if you had a site plan approval, you had 5 years to actually execute on it. And then the way the code read was that if you requested an extension, you could have another 5 years. So at a base, if you had a site plan for a commercial property, that could exist for 10 years without any real action by the county.
Okay.
So the way it reads now is that it's active for 2 years. And then upon expiration, you can request an extension. It's not automatic. You have to request it, and it has to be requested by the Board of County Commissioners. So then it's a matter of policy as to whether the site plan is going to be extended. That's specific for commercial properties.
Since you are the expert in this area, I'm going to ask you kind of a wing-nutty question that I have long wondered about. All the time, in both counties, in all their municipalities, the conversation goes like this. There's a zoning, and somebody wants to change the zoning in order to create the ability to do a new project. But and the ruling body, the governing body, is concerned because they're kind of for the project, but they're not in favor of the zoning change that would allow it, because they're worried that if the project then doesn't get done, they've changed the zoning and allowed other things within that zone that they would not approve of. is there any, and they obviously they're worried about things like spot zoning and all that, but is there any way to write these either zonings or development plans such that the zoning is dependent on this project getting completed and then it goes away, it sunsets after two? Is there any legal remedy to write something like that?
You know, I'm not an attorney, Andrew, but I do sit next to one a few times a week at our meetings.
Yes.
And I know something that's been talked about is being able to put together a developer agreement. So basically it would say, this is the project you're going to do. These are the parameters. And there may be some reverter clause if you don't execute on that specific project. So there's some options out there. I don't know that we've used it before, but you may see some of that coming forward in the future.
Because it seems like that's what, and I mean, every governing body, it seems like they run into this problem, they have this conversation, and that kind of a solution is what they're screaming for, even if they don't know it. And I was just curious if that was something that, you know, you guys have or you're looking at or whatever. So, you know, good to hear the conversation. As you say, you sit next to a pretty capable attorney, although he's retiring. Fine.
That's the rumor.
Yeah, Tom Danheiser retiring, and you got your new attorney on board who's going to take over for him. A couple other questions about the LDC stuff that might be of interest to at least some people. You changed the setbacks and the lot widths, and in Ag RR and in AG1 and AG2, you changed it from 70 feet width to 125 feet width. I assume this is meant to get rid of the what I call the cigarette land parcels, where it's so narrow that once you put a house on it, you literally can't even get to the backyard with any kind of equipment. It's meant to eliminate that kind of development, that kind of platting. Is that right?
That's right. And we actually ended up at 100 feet. You know, we started at 125 feet, but there was a recommendation from the zoning board to kind of meet in the middle at 100 feet. So
okay.
That's what we ended up with. But you're right. It's to try to eliminate those really thin lots where it may be an acre in size, but it's so thin that you don't have room in the sides of the structures to allow for swales, for stormwater. And, you know, they're kind of problematic when you see a bunch of those lumped together in one area.
Oh, that's I hadn't been thinking about that, but the stormwater and the swales. Yeah, I can see why that would, because, you know, water often needs the opportunity to run to the front or the back, depending on how the land works between houses. That's a good point. But also setbacks is another thing that you guys increased in those same zones. The document says 35 to 45. Sounds like there might have been some adjustments, but that's from the curb to the front of the structure, so that in these areas there will be more land in the front of the development. Is that right?
That's right. And again, it's to try to make sure that the lot is more usable for the end user. And so, of course, that setback is from the edge of your property line to the front of the structure. And just like with the lot widths, it was for Ag RR, Ag 1, and Ag 2.
Very good. The other thing, and I know this has been for some people a big conversation point, is the conservation communities, which, as I understand it, this is sort of similar to what they're trying to do with Jubilee. It's not the same exact thing, but it's sort of similar. That's to allow denser development on a portion of a property in exchange for not developing other portions of the property. Is that's what conservation communities are, right?
Yeah, that's kind of the gist of it. And of course, Jubilee was a separate matter altogether. I know some of the conversations in the public sphere kind of lumped the two together, but they were two distinctly different things.
Okay.
But you're right. The structure is that you can take your overall density and cluster it towards one portion of the property. So your net density does not increase, but you do have a little bit of a density increase in one section of your property. And the exchange is you then leave a portion of the property in perpetual conservation for the public use.
And the goal of this, for people who might not be familiar, is that if you say you take 1,000 acres of ag land and it's an acre per house, well, you're going to get 1,000 houses. Well, I mean, it doesn't quite work out that way, but let's say you're going to get 1,000 houses all sitting on an acre with all this wasted land in between that people just have to mow. But instead, if you can cluster that onto, you know, a couple hundred acres, you're going to get more dense development, 4 or 5 maybe per acre. But then the rest of the land is open and, you know, can not be used, but is preserved, even could be farmed on, right? That's kind of the idea.
That's the idea. And it's been used all over the country. You know, there's different versions of this, even in Florida. So this is just an opportunity to have developments a little bit more flexible and the end goal to save some land mass to be available as an amenity to the public.
Does it have a limit on the maximum density or the type of development in the, congealed areas? You know, could you have multifamily, or is it all single family detached? What kind of, I don't know what the parameters are. That's why I'm asking.
I like the phrase congealed. That's a good description of it. But yeah, so your max density and your type of housing has to match the existing zoning. So you mentioned multifamily. Multifamily is a commercial project, so that wouldn't be allowable. It'd have to be single-family residential and line up with the density of your parcel for the project. So that, none of that changes. That would be a rezoning. That would require a public hearing and action of the board. So it would have to match what's currently allowable by right on the property.
Very good.
Congealed or clustered.
I know it's going to come back on me. You're going to use congealed in the meeting. That's going to be funny. Last thing, Jared, anything else we missed? Any other big notes from the LDC meeting last night other than that we got rid of the requirement to have chain link fences around the low sloped or low depth ponds, which, hallelujah, thank God. Well done. Now us gaming needs to follow suit. But anyway, anything other than that?
You know, I think the big thing, Andrew, that I want people to know was that we had a task force of 11 members from the public, from different sectors, different lines of work. They came together earlier this year and put a lot of these recommendations into place. And such a good collaborative effort. You know, we see a lot of examples of people not working together and government not working, but this is a highlight of a group of people coming together and then ultimately making some changes to regulation that saves a little money for the taxpayer, provides a better end product for the consumer, and it's just a positive thing that I certainly want to highlight.
I love it. And as you know, everybody maybe doesn't know, but you know, this was individuals and builders and environmentalists, and everybody was working together on this thing, and so it was a real collaboration of interests that sometimes just wind up either yelling at each other or talking past each other a lot. So it was good to see that work. And you're right, it's good government in action, and you're going to have a better county because of it. Jared Lowe is the Santa Rosa County Assistant Administrator. Jared, thanks for the time. I appreciate you explaining some of this stuff to us. You did a great job for your first appearance here on the Pensacola Morning News. Hope we'll have many more in the future. But Jared Lowe, Santa Rosa County Assistant Administrator, thanks for the time, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Andrew.
Take care. You bet. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now, but if you're on Highway 29 southbound right around 10 Mile Road, starting to see some minor congestion in that area. But other than that, everything else looks good. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you have a company, you have employees, you have to manage benefits, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, HR, payroll, you know, all the, like, accounting-ish kind of stuff that you don't maybe love, okay? Dealing with people. I mean, you love the people. That's why you want to give them good benefits, but you don't love the doing of all of that. Well, that's why you call Torgerson Consulting. They've been doing this, you know, for quite some time, more than two decades here locally. For us, we've been working with them for about 5 years here at News Radio Cat Country and ESPN Pensacola. They've been managing our benefits, and they have been great at it. Now, look, I mean, the market is what it is, okay? They're not miracle workers, but I trust that every year when we come with their plans, they're going to be the best available things for the dental, for vision, for health insurance. That's who we use. Plus, they're great at customer service. I've never experienced this where they're very detail-oriented. They know the answers. We, my wife especially, as an industrial engineer, likes to ask a lot of particular questions. They have particular answers. So we are big thumbs up on Torgerson Consulting. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare here in Pensacola. I'd like to invite you to tune in to my new show, Sit, Stay, and Listen, where I'll be answering all your pet questions live on air.
Sit, Stay, and Listen tomorrow at 10 on Pep Talk.
See all you cool people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
This holiday season, whether you're shopping for clients, coworkers, or loved ones, Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze makes gift-giving easy and memorable. From custom apparel and drinkware to unique holiday gifts and decor, you'll find the perfect way to show your appreciation and spread cheer. Make your gifts stand out with personal touches and professional quality, all from your local experts at Prim and Proper. Visit them at 336 Gulf Breeze Parkway or primandproper.com.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel Thursday at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show. They'll be talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, and how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is.
Good morning, 6:58 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Good morning. An attempt to overturn the right to same-sex marriage has been rejected by the Supreme Court. Justices declined to take up an appeal from former Kentucky County Clerk Kim Davis to overturn the decision, the 2015 decision. The bid has been seen as a long shot by analysts. Davis received national attention when she refused to issue marriage licenses to a same-sex couple due to religious beliefs.
Yeah, and by the way, they could in the future reconsider their choice to not take it up. They could, this could come back again. But right, it's definitely a say no for now.
The Senate now taking a step to end the government shutdown. The chamber voting Monday to pass the funding bill, which now goes to the House. The measure would fund the government through January. That passed on a 60-40 vote. The House is expected to take that up, but not until Wednesday at the earliest.
Very good. David, thanks so much for the update. Happy Veterans Day to all who serve or served. We all appreciate what you do in all of the six now armed forces. Right? You got to, you know, got to include the Space Force. Everybody's a part of this. So that's a guard, that's reserve, that's active duty, that's veterans, everybody. 3 hour and